Psalm 46, 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.
Amen. We live in an anxiety-inducing world, a world that is just ridden with stress. We're bombarded with bad news almost 24/7. Watch TV, if you read the newspaper, surf the internet, listen to the radio, drive your car. There's stress surrounding us. There's anxiety all around us. Do you ever sit at a red light and you're supposed to be turning right? And you're waiting for that moment when it's safe to take that right turn, but the car behind you thinks that you are just taking your sweet time, so they start honking at you. I think that's my biggest pet peeve. It makes me want to sit there longer. But that's the world we live in. Let's go, let's go. Let's get this done. I have places to go. Do you know, I have a story. You know, one day I was going to Starbucks, and some days, well, you know I like my coffee, but some days I'm lazy and I don't like to get out of my car to actually go into Starbucks. So near my house, there's a Starbucks with a drive-thru. And so I went, okay, let's go to the drive-thru. I don't want to get out of the car. Well, Starbucks was training new employees that day. And so my order was taking extra long. And so I'm sitting in my car right at the Starbucks window. I've already put in my order. I've already paid. I'm waiting for my order. There's a truck behind me who's got places to be, apparently. He starts honking at me. We're in the drive-thru. He's honking, he's honking, he's honking. He's waving lots of fingers at me from his driver's seat. And I'm looking back and I'm thinking, this guy's got to be crazy. The Starbucks barista looks out the window. He's going, what are you doing, dude? You're in a drive-thru. But that's the world we live in. We live in a world that's so impatient, so full of anxiety, so full of stress. And by the way, I did get a Starbucks gift card out of the deal. They gave me $10 worth of Starbucks because they said, you shouldn't have to deal with that jerk behind you. I said, you're right. But that's just the world that we live in. And yet, God's word tells us over and over and over, don't worry, don't fear, don't be anxious. God knows that we're human. He knows that our natural tendency is to see things with our eyes and not our faith. And so he continually reminds us, do not fear, do not worry, do not be anxious. Proverbs 12:25 says that anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Anxiety is a weight that we're not meant to carry. When we worry, when we're anxious and it consumes our thoughts, it drains us emotionally and physically. And that's not how God wants us to live. That's not the abundant life that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10. Jesus told us that the thief comes to steal. It's the thief that comes to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life, he says, and have it abundant. And what we have in our text this morning in Psalm 46 is how this life is possible for the follower of Christ. Right from the very beginning in verse 1, the psalmist tells us, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. You know, the word for trouble, the Hebrew word, means pressed in. It means a tight place, squeezed in pathway. It means distress. It means pressure. There's a saying that when we're under pressure, when we're being squeezed, what's inside of us comes out. When we're under pressure, what's inside of us comes out. When I was in that line at Starbucks, what was coming out of me was a little bit of stress and anxiety and wanting to yell back at the guy. What was inside of me was coming out under that stress. Now, our psalm this morning, it's broken into three parts. The first part is telling us that God helps us in our times of trouble. He's our refuge and he is our strength. The psalmist tells us that God is our refuge. He is our place of safety and security. He is our mighty fortress. Regardless of what the world throws at us, God is on our side. The psalmist starts by describing natural disasters, earthquakes, landslides, typhoons, tsunamis, volcanic eruptions. It might even include blizzards, hurricanes, floods, tornadoes. In South Florida, we're pretty familiar with hurricanes. In the last few days, we've watched a hurricane just slam into Texas. Even this week, I believe it was the 25th anniversary of Hurricane Andrew hitting Miami back in 1992. We're all too familiar with God's power in nature. When we were living in Virginia, there was one day where two of the older kids were at school. My third child was just a baby at the time. And all of a sudden, I heard this loud roaring noise, a freight train. I didn't know what it was. It sounded like a bomb was about to go off. And I just felt this, something hit the house. And I look out the window, and there are branches and things just flying everywhere. I was not a believer at the time. But my first thing was, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And it was over as fast as it started. And so I ran up the stairs to check on Victoria, who was the baby at the time. And she was still sound asleep, didn't know anything had happened. And I was shaken. I was shaken up. And when I had left my house to go pick up the other two kids, I could see the damage. My neighbors had a tree come through their roof. But God's in control of that. God is in control of that nature. See, I wasn't a believer at the time, but the first thing I did was recognize where my safety net was. Lord, help me. God, I am scared. In that moment, I was in need. See, the psalmist is telling us that in the middle of the storm, don't fear. Don't worry. Because God is there. He is your refuge. He is your strength. Even when you don't know it, he is there. Natural disasters may be outside of our control, but they're not outside of his. When storms rage around us, our Lord is in control of the wind. He's in control of those seas. When the doctor gives us a bad medical report, or we deal with a chronic illness, it's the Lord who's in control of the cells in our body. It's the Lord who is still in control of the medicine and the treatments that we receive. Nothing is beyond his reach, even when we don't understand it. And because God helps us in those times of trouble, that's why we can put our trust in Him. That's why we can confidently say, I will not fear. God is my refuge. God is my strength. See, the psalmist displays a determination to be at peace and to trust the Lord, even when the earth is shaking, when the earth is rattling, even when it appears that the world around us is crumbling. The psalmist discovered the peace of God that transcends all understanding. In the New Testament, Paul understood that same peace. In Philippians 4:6, he tells us, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. But God doesn't stop there. The psalmist continues in verse 4, describing nations in an uproar and the kingdoms falling. It's not too different than what we see going on today. Verse 6, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice, the earth melts. Even though nations are falling apart, even though society seems to be deteriorating before our eyes, the psalmist tells us that God is with His people. God is your refuge. The Hebrew word here that is translated melts means to soften. It's God's voice alone that can bring calm. It's God's voice alone that can calm the rage, the hate, and the rebellion that we see in the world today. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is always the answer. He's over all, including the nations, the governments. God is in control of all of it. See, the truth at the very heart of this psalm is that God is God. God is in control. God is not fearful. He's the one to be feared. He will come someday to judge the earth and make everything right. He is our all in all. He's our protector. He's our consoler. Even though mankind seems to be falling apart, as followers of Christ, we don't have to be. We can stand confidently and without fear and worry because God is our refuge. God is our strength. And Jesus is still King of Kings. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that brings us to the psalmist's third point and conclusion. God is God. Who else can we trust? Reminds me of the disciples when Jesus says, well, are you going to go too? And the disciples said, where else are we going to go? Who else can we trust? If God is God and God is good, who else is there? Verse 8, we're reminded of God's power. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation He has brought on the earth. We need to remember the power that God displays over natural disasters. Remember the power that He alone has over creation. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. Even when the nations rage, it's God who makes them cease. In time, God's going to bring all wars to an end. All humanity will be called before Him for judgment. And then the psalmist brings all of this to a conclusion in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. There is one true living God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. There is no other. He has power over creation. He controls the weather. He controls the earth. He controls the sun, the stars, the galaxy, the whole universe. This past week, we were able to witness a solar eclipse. And people were just amazed at the beauty of this action. And it was incredible. But the thing that struck me was, do we not know that it's the God that designed the sun? God, the Creator, put the sun there, put the earth in just the right place, put the moon in just the right place. And science missed it all. They missed the most important part of that solar eclipse. That God, the Creator, placed it all there in perfect harmony so we could witness His glory. God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's above all. He is righteous. He's just. He's loving. He's eternal. He's unchangeable. He's truthful. And He will be exalted among the nations, exalted in all the earth. He is our God. He is with us. He's our refuge. In Him we find safety. In Him we find shelter and security. So be still. No matter where you are, whether you're on an airplane, whether you're in the middle of a raging war in another country, just be still and know who you are a child of. Be still. Ah, but that's the catch. We don't want to be still, do we? Being still makes us uncomfortable. Silence. Silence makes us uncomfortable too. We'll fill our lives with noise just to avoid the emptiness of silence. Did you ever hear of a group called the Circuit Riders? They were a group from the 1700s led by John Wesley. And they were a group of pastors that would ride around on horseback around the country, bringing the gospel of Jesus. Their goal was to just get the gospel out to everybody. And so one particular day, this pastor was riding through the countryside, and he came across a farmer in the field. And so he went up, him and his horse, he went up to this farmer and said, "Hello, fine day today, isn't it?" And the farmer said, "Well, maybe for you. You just have to ride around on your horse all day. I'm out here digging holes and planting seeds, and then I have to walk home after a long day in the sun." He said, "You don't know what kind of work that is." And the preacher said, "Well, I still work." The farmer said, "Oh, no, you don't. You just sit on there. All you have to do is think about God all day." The preacher said, "Well, it's a different kind of work, but it is hard." "No, it's not." The preacher said, "Well, I'll tell you what. If you can think about God for a whole minute, nothing but God for a whole minute, you can have my horse." The farmer says, "Really?" Preacher says, "Of course. You have my word." Farmer says, "All right, you've got a deal." Farmer sits down on the ground. 10 seconds pass. 20 seconds pass. 25 seconds pass, and the farmer looks up. He says, "Hey, does this include the saddle?" The preacher says, "I just proved my point. Not so hard to sit in silence and think about God for just 1 minute. All he had to do to get that horse was just think about God for 1 minute. But he couldn't do it." Sometimes we have a hard time doing that too. We struggle with silence. Everywhere we go, there's noise. Department stores, malls, waiting rooms, restaurants, even in our cars, Sometimes the first thing we do is put on the music. Even in elevators, there's music. We're left thinking that we need to fill every moment with noise. And then silence becomes uncomfortable. I admit, even in my own house, remember, I raised 4 kids, so there's always noise. I only have 1 left at home now. But you know what I do? I turn the TV on. I may not watch it, but it's on because I like the noise. It keeps me company. That's crazy. Because silence makes us uncomfortable. Except that some researchers have discovered that we don't mind silence when we're in the company of people that we like. If we're in company with someone that we're comfortable around, then suddenly silence isn't so bad. Have you ever watched a young couple in love sit across the table from each other at a restaurant? They could just sit there and stare at each other for hours. They don't have to say a word. The only way that we can be still in God's presence is if we're comfortable in His presence. Do you ever have small kids that just want to just climb up on your lap and just sit there? They don't need to say anything. They're just there. They just want to curl up on your lap. Is that the best feeling? Or parents, when your kids have nightmares, they come running into your room, and what do they want? They just want to be with you. They don't have to talk. They just want to sleep right there, even at your feet. When my kids had nightmares, they would just come in. They would sleep at the foot of my bed. It just brought them safety. It brought them security, knowing that I was there. Imagine what it must be like for God when one of His own children just wants to be with Him, to just sit there in His presence, because that's where they feel safe. That's where they feel secure. But sometimes when I sit with the Lord, my mind starts to wander. Did I return that email? Did I call them back? Did I pay that bill? Did I turn off the stove? Did I let the dog out? On and on and on. The thoughts keep running. One technique I read about this week recommended using the alphabet to help stay focused on God and your time with Him. It would go something like this. God, You are almighty. You're the beginning and the end. You're my creator. You're our deliverer. You're everlasting and eternal. You are Father to the fatherless. You are God. You are my hope. You're the great I am. You are just. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're majestic and mighty. You're never ending, never changing. You are over all things. You are powerful. You qualify those You call. You're righteous. You're sovereign. You're trustworthy. You're understanding. You're victorious. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You're extraordinary. You yearn for a relationship with us. And You are zealous for us. We have the opportunity to be in the presence of the One who is all of that for us. Not because we deserve it, not because we have earned it, only because He cares for us, only because He loves us. The Lord knows that we need to be in His presence. And that's why His word reminds us over and over and over, just be still and wait on Him. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. In Isaiah 40:31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not get weary. This reminds me of a similar command by Jesus at the end of the fourth chapter in Mark, starting in verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. And the disciples woke him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" I say that to God. "Lord, don't you care? Don't you see what's going on around me? Don't you see what that person did to me? Don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you care?" And Jesus wakes up, he rebukes the wind, and he says to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Silence, be still. The Greek words used here mean hush. And depending on the commentary that you read, it may say shut up. Shut up. Sometimes our storms are made worse by our own thoughts. Researchers say that humans have over 50,000 thoughts a day. And they aren't always nice, pretty, encouraging thoughts. We are our own worst enemies, and Satan knows it. So he feeds us with lots of negative and degrading thoughts. "Oh, that's too hard. Oh, I can't do that. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm not smart enough. I can't believe I did that. How could I be so stupid to have done that? What was I thinking?" At the most basic level of this command to be still is learning to tell our fearful and anxious thoughts, "Shut up!" We need to recognize that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that controls creation and nature, the same power that controls nations and governments, lives inside his children. For the follower of Christ, the power of God is within you to calm those anxious thoughts, to ease your fears, to ease your worries. God asks that we be still so that we can hear him speak love, speak peace and guidance into us. Psalm 37, starting in verse 5. "Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes." Church, we can safely place our trust in him, our good and merciful God. We can trust him with our lives, our families, our jobs, our finances, our concerns, and our cares in this world. Psalm 55 tells us, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall." Peter tells us to give all our worries and cares to God because he cares for us. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" And one of my favorites from Isaiah 41, "Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." We can face the stresses and anxieties of this world with God's help. We can place all of it in his hands. We don't need to carry it around. We can be still and know that He is our God and that He is with us. He is our help in times of trouble. He is our refuge, and He is our strength in the raging storms. But we need to remember that sometimes God doesn't calm the storm. Instead, He calms His child in the middle of the storm. We just have to learn to be still and know that He is God. Heavenly Father, holy, holy Lord, help us to be still in Your presence. Remind us of who You are. Remind us of who we are in You. Lord, we want to remember that You are our strength. We want to remember, we want to leave this place filled up knowing that You are our refuge. You are trustworthy. And because of Your love for us, Father, we need not fear. We need not worry about tomorrow. In Jesus' holy and all so precious name, amen.